Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
One of the greatest songs of all time. My opinion. Would you agree? Musicologist Schwannies,
I love this song. Sadly, his last song.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, the great Otis Redding. Today is the anniversary of when he died in a plane crash.
Plane crash, yeah. You remember his song, I've Been Loving You Too Long?
Oh, don't even get me started.
Oh, man, oh, man.
And it makes me, you know, wonder and think, what kind of contributions the great Otis Redding would have made?
Had he lived.
Had he
sure.
lived.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Had he lived. And yep. This is just so classic. He recorded this song 2 days before he died in the plane crash.
Oh, was it that soon?
Yeah, about
wow.
that.
Wow.
Just 2 days before. It was released, you know, after that.
Yes. That's why we can.
It was not released before he recorded it. It was really
that would be a pre-release,
a prequel.
Hey, it was released after his death. Of course, it was. And it went number one on the charts, and became the first posthumously released song to reach the number one spot on the U.S.
Oh, it was the first one?
First one ever, yeah.
Okay.
I'm Casey Kasem. Keep your feet on the ground.
Thank you, Dean Diamond.
Should have been number one just based on the whistling.
Oh, I love any song with whistling.
Oh, it's unbelievably good.
Who's whistling? Is that you?
That was me.
Another hidden talent undiscovered.
You are quite the whistler.
Picked it up from my dad.
Can you do Flight of the Bumblebee?
I don't know if I can do that.
With some saltine crackers in your mouth?
And peanut butter?
No, yeah, with peanut butter and the saltines.
That would be a good skill.
Wonderful.
Yep. Yeah. So, sad anniversary, but one I think worth pointing out.
Definitely.
Definitely. Otis Redding, one of the greatest of all time.
My friend has a rare album that was recorded at the Monterey Jazz and Blues Festival in the 60s with Otis Redding doing I've Been Loving You Too Long, and then he does Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think Jimi Hendrix is on that album also.
I just can't even imagine what kind of music Otis Redding would have given us over the years.
Yeah.
I think about that, like people who die too young. How about James Dean?
Oh, definitely.
What kind of movie roles would James Dean have done had he also not been killed in a car crash?
Sure. All different actors, musicians, whoever they may be.
I wonder, like, what would Elvis be now in his mid-80s, maybe? What would Elvis have given us?
He was really, he might be almost 90 by now.
He was only, like, 40.
42.
Wasn't he, when
he's
he
42.
John Lennon.
John Lennon was—he had just released an album,
Double Fantasy,
with Yoko.
That was just a couple of days ago. His death anniversary, wasn't it December 8th?
Something,
yeah,
like that.
I believe so.
Yeah,
that's one of those. This is such a weird topic to start the show up. Hey, let's talk death.
The death of celebrities.
Hey, let's talk death, everybody. But it's one of those deaths I remember exactly where I was when I heard Howard Cosell.
That's the right.
Break the news
on John Lennon.
That John Lennon had been shot in the streets of New York and killed.
How about Janis Joplin?
No.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of celebrity deaths, you know, Michael Nesmith.
You said that with so much enthusiasm.
That's my DJ voice.
That's your DJ. Is that your Dean Diamond voice, or is that your Casey voice?
Yeah, it's pretty much my Dean Diamond voice.
Okay, all right. Michael Nesmith.
Michael Nesmith.
From the Monkees.
From the Monkees. Also died on this day in 2021.
Oh, yeah, right. I was going to say, yeah, he had passed away a couple of years ago.
Just 2 years ago. He shares a birthday with Monkees bandmate Davy Jones. I never knew that.
Oh, they had the same birthday?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And do you know what he also is kind of famous for? Well, really, it was
his mom.
His mom was more famous for, but he was the beneficiary. His mom invented liquid paper.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Remember back in the day?
Whiteout, yeah.
The whiteout.
While you were, you're typing on your typewriter. What's a typewriter, Uncle Dean?
You have to take out the cartridge and put the other cartridge in.
Oh, well, if you were lucky enough to have that fancy-schmancy...
The Smith Corona.
Correction ribbon. But I just had a little bottle.
With a little brush.
Of whiteout.
I tried using it on my computer once. Typing a document, and I realized I had really made a mistake.
He's probably really serious.
I painted over the letter.
That's not good. That's not good, but it's funny, though.
Then I realized, no, this isn't a piece of paper. This is a screen.
I love liquid paper.
I still have
liquid paper or whiteout?
Whiteout.
I think it was both. It's kind of like the Kleenex thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the whiteout was like a trademark.
It was a brand.
Brand. Yeah. Like you said, Andy, Kleenex.
Yep. What a genius invention, though. But I remember when I would type college papers, my paper looked like a pizza. It had so much whiteout. I'm still a terrible typist.
That's why we have autocorrect and all of these things.
And all those
software these days.
Nope.
See, now they have them in the little plastic things. It's a little strip tape. Where you can kind of roll the roller over it, and it doesn't smudge. It's just tape. Because I don't like to write in pencil because it just that sound just drives me crazy. Pencil on paper.
Pencil. The lead on the paper drives you crazy.
I can't deal with it. It's like chalk on. It's like the nails on a chalkboard kind of thing.
We are learning new things about each other.
Yeah, but the pen, when you make a mistake, obviously you can't erase it. So
you get the
little cartridge.
Little whitey out thing.
Yeah. Fits in your hand.
So when you were in first grade, second grade, with a pencil and paper, you had to sit in the corner?
No, I had to gut it out. That's where I learned my traits of just gutting things out.
Little Andy sitting there with earmuffs on.
I was molded early.
Couldn't hear.
But those were the big Husky pencils,
number two pencils.
Those things were awesome. Yeah.
Ticonderoga?
Oh, the best.
Number two?
Number two.
Richard Pryor also died on this day. I don't know why I came across all the deaths of December 10th today.
And you're laughing about it.
Well, it's kind of funny that we're
starting the show off this way. An upbeat. On a very somber note.
It's supposed to be like, hey, upbeat Sunday morning. Hey, everybody, let's have a great day. Here's who died. Just came across. Richard Pryor died December 10th, 2005.
Wow. A long time.
Peoria, Illinois native.
Peoria, that's right. Exactly. Do you know who Philip McKeon is?
Wait a minute.
I know that name.
I know that name, too.
Philip McKeon.
Was he... he was an actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Alice.
Andy, look at you.
He was Joe from Facts of Life's brother.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, look at you.
All right.
Look at you.
Nice.
He was Alice's son
right.
on the TV show Alice, the little blonde-haired kid,
and
died in 2019. Sorry, I don't mean to be laughing at the deaths themselves. It's a funny way to start the show. That's all. He was only 55 when he died.
Hmm.
They did not announce why he died, but the cause of death. And Senator Eugene McCarthy also died. As long as we're covering a ball here today. And that's all I have on deaths tonight.
I tried to come up with some Andy Griffith cast members. I couldn't find any that died on this day. No.
Somebody brought up your obsession with the Andy Griffith Show to me this week.
Oh, no.
They said, what's up with Schwani?
I'm sure they did say, what's up with him, yes.
I often hear that during the week, what's up with Schwani?
I hear it about you.
But I'm sure you do. And, they're probably legit questions, all of them. But somebody said, "Why? You know, what's up with your obsession?" I said, "What's not to be obsessed? It's one of the greatest TV shows of all time."
I read something,
and especially online. This time of year, when we were talking last week about
The Christmas episode,
with Ben Weaver,
Christmas,
the grouchy guy. The mean guy, I've quoted that to several people, must have been 10 times this week.
What, the Christmas hotline?
The
show itself.
You're talking about, you know, people. You start talking about Christmas episodes and Christmas things and that, and then, you know, I bring it up, and everybody looks at me like I'm Methuselah. who's Andy Griffith? What's that? I'm getting a lot of that lately.
Well, you got who's Jackie Gleason not long
ago. Yeah, I did have somebody who didn't know who Jackie Gleason was. Yeah.
So what? How did you answer them?
I told them it's the greatest.
It's the greatest show ever.
It's one of the greatest TV shows of all time. And that you would do yourself a favor by watching it. And then I would also, you know, that's before my time. I don't know. And that's, so then I throw in, well, I know who Mozart is.
Yes, right.
I know way the work of Beethoven. Time. I know, you know, the work of Benny Goodman. Mm-hmm. These are all before my time. But I, you know, here's an idea. Stretch your brain a little bit. Learn a little something.
This was the pioneering days of sitcom TV.
Yeah. You know. Couldn't sound more old and grouchy right now. You kids got to learn a little something and get off my lawn.
I read something online recently about shows from the 60s that nobody liked. Hmm. And they listed 8 or 10 shows.
And you liked them all.
And yeah, not only that, you know, the premise of this supposed article was that no one liked them. The shows they named were among the most popular of their time.
Right.
You know, and Andy Griffith was included in this list.
Well, that's
it was in the
show.
Top 10 for every season that it was on.
Andy Griffith is timeless. It's timeless. It still holds up today. There are some shows from back in the day that do stink. Do you ever watch the Abbott and Costello TV show?
Well, yeah.
That's a pretty horrible TV show. I like them in the movies. They did not translate to television at all. It's painful to watch that. But, like, what were some of the other shows on this worst?
Well, they actually did list things like My Mother, the Car.
That was pretty stupid. I'm going to go along with that.
I think also, conversely, Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, jeez.
Now,
please.
Come on.
Classic.
You know, things like that. My Three Sons, that was a popular show.
The early episodes.
The earlier ones, yeah.
The early ones.
Yeah. But, I'll have to dig this up, but I just was going through some things and found that and shows that nobody liked. And I thought they'd be naming a lot of obscure things you know, like Peter and Gladys and stuff like that.
Peter and Gladys.
That was a show. You don't know that show?
Peter and Gladys?
Peter and Gladys.
Who was on it?
I think it was Harry Morgan.
Besides Peter and Gladys.
I think Peter, or Harry.
Yeah,
Peter.
I think you're right. Harry Morgan. Who was on MASH.
A Colonel Potter on MASH.
Yeah, Colonel Potter.
And he was Joe Friday on Dragnet.
Right. Yep, you lost me.
Okay.
Could you hold a mirror under Andy's nose just to see if he's still breathing after all this?
I just zoned out for a second there.
Andy, do you like Father Knows Best?
My father does know best, yes.
He does.
That would be with Dr. Marcus Welby, right?
That's right.
That's right, yes.
Robert Young.
M.D.
Yeah.
Robert Young. I do like that show.
Yeah.
They had a good Christmas episode.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that?
Their Christmas episode?
They had a Christmas episode, yes.
No.
Okay.
Can we go back to talking about death?
Who died?
Hey, speaking of Andy Griffith, let's stroll down that old dirt road, Schwanny and me and Andy.
I'll come along.
Who's going to throw the rock into the lake?
Andy's the one that throws the rock.
Okay.
Skips the water with the rock.
Water.
Mm-hmm. It's time once again for America's favorite, the far-flung forecast. Our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures presented to us each week by the one and only Dave, Gladys, and
Peter and
Peter
Gladys.
And Gladys with Peter and Gordon Schwab, whatever,
Paul and Mary,
whoever it is, Peter McCartney.
Well, thank you very much for that marvelous introduction, as always.
Marvelous.
And hello, friends. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled GPS devices, because today we are going to New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven, Connecticut, on New Haven Harbor.
Who? Huh.
On the northern shore of Long Island Sound. Pretty good-sized population, actually, 135,000 here, but it dates from the very, very early 1600s when a Dutch explorer named Adrian Block noticed the area and explored it a little bit. But we mention New Haven today because it is the birthplace of someone that we lost just this past week here the age of 101, Norman Milton Lear, born in New Haven, Connecticut, in 1922, July of that year.
Can I just say what a genius Norman Lear was?
An amazing man. Did you ever get to meet him?
I interviewed him several times.
Okay.
A few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I hosted a Q&A with him at the Music Box Theater.
Wow.
There was a documentary that had just been put out about his life and career, and they invited me to come and host the Q&A. So
that's great.
He is a genius. There will never be another like him. And may I also say, no kinder person, nicer man, more down to earth, wonderful person than Norman Lear.
I certainly got that impression that he was just a very down to earth, nice person.
Yeah. But continuing our theme of death.
Yeah, it follows what we've talked about here. And so how will we follow this in the next 3 hours? You'll think of something.
I'm checking out at 11 today. Yeah. OB.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh. Okay. New Haven, Connecticut, though, the birthplace of the great Norman Lear. Cloudy skies there, but they're warmer than we are. It's 55.
This particular time slot here on this very program for, well, at least the last 3 years, but certainly on a regular basis before that, has been filled with great information by our pal, Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital, Medical Director, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most joins us, as usual, on the program. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dean. How about yourself?
I'm doing very fine, except I've had mixed feelings about the news that you shared with me earlier this week I'm hoping you now will share with our audience as well.
Yeah, Dean, I've been blessed. I've been very fortunate to have a long career with not only Northwestern Medicine and Central DuPage, but also with WGN. But after 33 and a half years of being with Central DuPage and over 20 plus years with WGN, I'm going to retire here. And I don't know whether it's going to be right off into the sunset or whether I'm just going to still continue to have some presence here. But I decided to take the plunge and retire and start to spend a little bit more time with family and friends. And it's bittersweet to me as much as it is to you, Dean.
Yeah. You know, part of me, I love quality of life decisions. And I know that that's what this is for you, to be able to spend time with family and friends and step aside and let somebody else take all the responsibility of goes along with, you know, your medical duties at Central DuPage Hospital. So in that sense, I am happy for my friend of all of these years, all of these decades, to be making such a fantastic life decision. But you won't be here with us, as you said. Who knows what the future will bring with regard to some kind of presence here on the show, but that you will not be with us here every week does make me sad. It does make me sad. You're not only so great at providing fantastic information you know, helpful, useful information to help people live longer and better and, you know, more fruitful lives. But you could not be more compassionate, not only to me, but to all of our listeners who call up with, you know, questions and concerns. You know, I can't even tell you the number of time I people tell me all the time, I wish you could be my doctor because of your demeanor and, you know, what you do. So congratulations on your announcement. And I miss you already. That's all I can say.
Well, I appreciate it. And I've said it, Central DuPage, the last couple of days and weeks that I've been mentioning this is I came into this with zero friends at WGN and zero friends at CDH, and I'm leaving with thousands of friends from CDH and hundreds of friends from WGN. So I promise you I will continue to at least be a part of your show when asked. But yeah, it's interesting, Dean. I have an older brother, Kurt. We were born on the exact same day, 2 years apart.
Really?
So June 17th, our birthday, yep. And at the, I was 10, Kurt was 12. My father dropped us off at the golf course to be caddies for the first day. And so we started work on the exact same day. And my brother, Kurt, is going to retire on December 31st as I am. So
it
just kind of lines up. You know, here we are, born on the same day, 2 years apart, started working the same time and ending our careers at the same time.
Wow.
And I tell people I've had two jobs in my life, one as a caddy and one as a doctor, and both of them were very enjoyable.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, I've said it a million times on the air. I've said it to anyone who will listen to me off the air. There is no better person than Dr. Kevin Most. He is truly an angel walking on this earth helping other people. You're just absolutely the greatest. So congratulations again is all
Thank
I can
you.
Say. And now let's get to work. Enough of all this. Let's get to work. Let's get to work. I've been reading about respiratory illnesses that are like through the roof, not just here in the U.S., all over the world. Is that RSV? Is that what's going on with this, or is it something else?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a big spike in RSV, but the other interesting one we're seeing a big spike in is something called mycoplasma. And people are like, oh my gosh, what's mycoplasma? I've never heard of that. But if I said, have you heard of walking pneumonia? People say, oh yes, I've heard of walking pneumonia. And that's what mycoplasma is. And we've definitely seen a big bump in that in China, and certainly here in the United States. As a matter of fact, there's one county in Ohio that's had about 150 cases of pediatric mycoplasma. So certainly that's one that's coming out. Last year we talked about this triple-demic of influenza, COVID, and RSV. And now it looks like we're throwing a fourth one in there, a quad, and that one being mycoplasma.
So what is it that people should do to avoid you know, being part of this statistic?
Yeah, you know, do all the things that we did during COVID, except we don't have to do it like we did on COVID on steroids, right? But if you're going to be someplace and you're immunocompromised at all, you're going to be around anybody immunocompromised, try to wear a mask. You know, people start to laugh at that and say that's ridiculous. Like, we showed exactly how important it is there. Two, I would say wash your hands frequently. And probably one of the most important as we come into the holidays is don't go to an event if you're sick, because we know how easy it is to spread these illnesses, and that's why it continues to spread to this day. So, as I said, the other thing is, if you start to feel sick, get into your doctor, get into an urgent care, because for almost all of these illnesses, we have something that we can treat that with or shorten the duration, whether it be Tamiflu for influenza, antibiotics for mycoplasma, you know, and even Paxlovid for COVID. So know that there are things out there that can shorten the duration and make these illnesses a little bit more tolerable.
Yeah. Okay. So common sense, especially this time of year, when, you know, I went to a couple of holiday gatherings this week, and everybody wants to hug, and everyone wants a little, you know, Christmas kiss and all this and that. And then I'm like, you know, recoiling. It's like, really, do we have to do that? Can't we just wish each other something from a safe distance? That seems, seems just as heartfelt to me while there are viruses that are running around. So just use some common sense, I guess, right, is
absolutely
the answer to that.
And if you look right now, you know, counties up here in the northern part of the state are still in low level for influenza. But if you look across the country, you look in the southeast, southern Illinois, you're starting to go see those getting to moderate and high. And it's just like peaking just at the absolute worst time between Christmas and New Year's here, where, you know, we're going to start to see more and more cases. So try to stay healthy, try to do what you can, wash your hands frequently, and hopefully you've all been vaccinated.
Let us take a quick break, and when we come back, questions for Dr. Kevin Most. Tom, you're on the air with Dr. Kevin Most.
Doctor, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your calls. And I just wanted to thank you for saving my wife's life at your hospital. She had cancer and sepsis, and there's no better care in the Midwest than your hospital in Winfield. It's just beautiful. The people care for everyone, and it's nice. And also, most important, you took care of Dean when he was sick, because it's not Sunday morning without Dean.
Some people are still holding that against him.
well, they're wrong. Dean, they're wrong.
I'm telling you what, your wife is okay? Everything turned out okay? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, she was there. She was also at Delnor, and she had some treatments there too, but it was just wonderful, the care of everyone, all the doctors, definitely the nurses, and all the help that's there. It's just marvelous. Yeah, and it's because of you.
Yep, couldn't agree more.
Well, Tom, you can see how blessed I have been to spend my time there. Excuse me, and be surrounded by phenomenal doctors and great support. And I think you kind of hit it on the head there when you said, hey, the nurses are fantastic. You know, I always say doctors write orders, nurses deliver care. And we've been very fortunate to not only have a great, phenomenal medical staff, but also an unbelievable nursing staff. So I really appreciate the accolades, and I will make sure I share that with the staff.
Thank you for the call, Tom, and happy holidays to you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much. This is Kathy. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for taking my call. And Dr. Most, I'm just a listener, and I just want to say thank you so much for doing this every weekend. And I am going to truly miss you. Similar in a way that I miss my dad. He was a physician and a surgeon, and he passed away about a year ago. And I used to run to him whenever I had any medical issues. And now, you know, I've been listening to you for quite a while on GN. And so I'll be missing you, and good luck to you. I wish you the best in your future endeavors. In the meantime, I do have a question for you. My husband and I had gone to get our RSV vaccinations almost 3 weeks ago, and I have been okay since, but he has since developed a cough, which would be similar to like a COVID or flu cough, and it's also stuffed up his ears. So just a couple of days ago, we went to see his doctor, and he was prescribed a cough medicine with codeine to control the cough, because he was just not getting any really much sleep, and he wasn't really, when he would speak, it would just bring on a coughing fit. And then in addition, he was prescribed a methyl prednisone to relieve his ear congestion. So now he's able to hear a little bit more. But in the meantime, we were told by her, the doctor, that it's possible it's a side effect from the vaccination, and that she has had several patients come into her with the same symptoms. Is this something you've heard of?
Yeah, so a couple of things there. One, the care that you received is fantastic. I'm glad that she didn't rush to put you on an antibiotic. Although if this continues, you might want to touch base with her again and see if an antibiotic would be appropriate if it hasn't. But absolutely doing the right things here with the codeine-based cough syrup to really knock down that cough, which allows him to get some rest. And the steroids, a strong anti-inflammatory to take down some of that congestion in the nose, and actually helps the coughing as well. The side effects from the RSV vaccine is probably one of the biggest concerns that we have, and that's why if you've listened to me subtly during the past couple of months, I've always said, talk to your doctor before you get the RSV, where I'm strongly saying, go get the COVID and go get influenza, because we do know that the side effects are a little bit stronger with the RSV. That being said, I still find a good place for it because it protects you from the virus and also protects you if you're going to be around any young newborns or grandchildren. So, yes, we know that that's a side effect from it. Hopefully it'll be short-lived. But we also, you know, we always say, hey, when you hear hoofbeats, we think of horses, not zebras. We have to make sure that we don't have tunnel vision and say this is just due to the vaccine. But your doctor is absolutely right in treating you the way that she is. And if it continues, then I would definitely go back and say, hey, is there a possibility this could be mycoplasma because we're seeing a lot of it? And would a course of a Zithromax or a Biaxin be appropriate at this time to eliminate that possibility?
Okay, thank you. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, thank you.
It does.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
To you and your husband, happy holidays. Somebody gets the RSV vaccine. How long does it take until it's like in effect? Is this a good time to get it so you're protected for the holidays?
Yes. And actually, it's interesting the way you asked the question, Dean, because as we've talked about RSV, there is certainly the vaccine that we are giving to adults over the age of 60 to protect them. But then we also have to remember that we're giving this also to individuals who are pregnant. So those individuals, we're going to protect that newborn. So we can't wait till 2 weeks before you deliver, but certainly in that last couple of weeks before you deliver, we're going to give you that vaccine to protect your newborn. And then people are saying, wait a second, my newborn got a vaccine. And in fact, the RSV vaccine or RSV shot, I will say, that we're giving to newborns is essentially antibodies, not a vaccine because their immune system isn't turned on yet, but it's more antibodies to protect them during that vulnerable time before their immune system kicks in at about age 12 months.
Yeah, it's so interesting now how attuned we are to side effects to vaccines, you know, how much we've learned over the last few years about all of this and, you know, concerns and questions that we now know that we should ask our physicians. I finally got my COVID booster a couple of weeks ago. I'd kind of been holding off because I was worried about after effects. I had a sore arm, of course, like you always do when you get a vaccine, but not a single side effect besides that. I came out of that completely scot-free. So I'm lucky about that. So now I'm going to check with my doctor about RSV, if I should get the RSV. All right, doctor, thank you so much. Dr. Kevin Most, as always, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. We've got a couple of more visits between now and the end of the year before he retires. Again, our congratulations. As you can imagine, our text line is flooded with people saying, you know, thank you for everything that you've given us. We'll miss you, but congratulations. Chicago loves you, Kevin, and I do too. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate our friendship and the opportunity to answer questions and share some thoughts. So you've been a great friend for many decades, and that will continue for sure.
Coming up on the program, the Chicago exclusive one-on-one interview with actor Timothy Chalamet. Shwani, you know who he is, don't you?
Why, sure.
You sound like you're lying. Timothy Chalamet.
I know the name, yes.
He was in Dune. He was in lots of...
Yes.
Good, he's a young actor. He plays Willy Wonka in this new movie that's coming out that's simply called Wonka. It's a prequel to the Gene Wilder movie, yeah, that we all grew up with. So we'll have that interview coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to be reviewing the Betty Boop musical that just opened in Chicago this past week. So we've got that all coming up, and also details on How I Am Not Dead. Keeping in our theme.
Keeping in the theme that we started off so jubilantly this morning.
Keeping in a theme.
This festive time of year.
Answering
what do we do?
An email about whether or not I am dead. I will respond coming up in a moment here. I got an email this morning.
Yes, explain this, please.
Asking if I was dead.
So let me get this right. Somebody emailed you to ask you if you were dead.
Asking if I was dead.
Okay. Yeah. That makes some sense all the way.
Well, a couple of weird things on the social media this week. Now, first of all, over at WGN TV, you know, we've been celebrating the 75th anniversary of the TV station.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the web department over there posted a very nice thing about me reflecting on my time at WGN and the 75-year history of WGN television. But the headline that they put on the social media post is, and I quote, "Celebrating 75 years of WGN TV with Dean Richards." And it makes it seem like I have been working at WGN
for 75 years.
For 75 years, which would have made my start time prenatal.
Mm-hmm.
So
way prenatal.
That was even before the Dean Diamond years. So, you know, a poorly written, headline, but so many people chimed in saying things like that headline makes it sound like you've been at WGN for 75 years. People commenting. But so many nice, also very, very, very nice comments coming out of it as well. A gentleman by the name of Rick writes, "Chicago is blessed with many broadcast legends. Dean is in that category." So remember that, Schwani, next time you get a little snippy with me.
Well, I always remember that.
So remember that in 5 minutes.
He remembers it and then completely ignores it. He said, "If you really want to hear the best, listen to the Sunday morning broadcast. No obvious script, few filters."
That's an understatement.
Absolutely a riot. That's the nicest thing somebody can say.
That is a big compliment.
That's a huge compliment.
And it sure is.
Out of that terrible, poorly written headline on the social media post come just one very, very, very sweet and nice comment after another. So I appreciate all that. But somebody wrote, "Is Dean still alive?" Because they saw a post on the internet saying that Dean Richards was dead, and then they put a link to it. And there's a very famous soccer player in the UK.
Oh,
are you familiar with?
I am not.
This guy.
I'm gonna look him up right now.
He was a very rugby player. Rugby player,
yeah.
Named Dean Richards.
Correct.
And he died at the age of 36. So somebody saw that post and thought that I was the one who was dead.
Mm. Well, I know that you're not 36.
Okay, so now there is a Dean Richards rugby player in England who's a little older, but now I'm looking at the soccer player, yes, and he did pass away.
So there were two Dean Richards?
Yeah, but this particular Dean Richards, who is a footballer,
football,
passed away on the 26th of February in 2011. So let me see what that's all about. This is kind of crazy. Yeah, he died in 2011.
This is our death
at age 36.
Yeah.
Two weeks before Christmas, and look what we're doing.
Here's my advice. If you ever want to know if I'm dead, probably not best to email me and ask me that question, because if indeed I am dead, you're not going to get an answer to your email.
That is true.
Very true.
Schwani will be the secretary in charge of all matters regarding my death from now on.
Does that include the pictures?
The pictures that I have of you?
Yes. Does that include the pictures?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I've already arranged for those to be printed in the newspaper. The moment that I passed, my blackmail pictures that I have of you.
Yeah. You're in them too.
I am too. But
you're in them too.
Yeah, but I'll be dead, so it won't make any
difference.
Matter.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm alive. Hang on. Let me check my pulse. Yeah, I'm alive. And, everything is fine. But thank you for all the very, very nice texts and email this week. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in London, England. You know, over across the pond, as they say, and had a chance to go to the world premiere of the movie Wonka, the Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory legacy, the Raoul Dahl story that stars Timothy Chalamet. And I sat down one-on-one with the star, and we talked about the making of this movie, and we're going to share that with you. And this is Timothée Chalamet singing the famous song that we first heard from Gene Wilder in the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie that we all grew up with, based on this famous Roald Dahl story. Johnny Depp remade the movie, now there is this new version of the legacy that's simply called Wonka. Unlike the Johnny Depp movie, which was, you know, it was dark and a lot of people didn't care for it, they still like the original better. Unlike that, this new movie is a prequel. It's an origin story. You know, we know the story of the very eccentric chocolate maker, Willy Wonka. And, you know, he's in his secretive chocolate factory, distributes the golden tickets, and only a handful of colorful characters are allowed into the factory. Some meet with unscrupulous endings. But how did Willy Wonka get to be the way that he is? That's what this new movie is about. It's the prequel, how Willy Wonka came to be. And I was lucky enough to see the movie ahead of time. I was at the world premiere in London, and I just absolutely love this movie. I can't wait for all of you to see it when it opens in theaters in the Chicago area this coming Friday. I'll give you a full review on the movie then, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to give it a great review. It's charming. It's colorful. It's beautiful. It's a lovely story. Outside of the Oompa Loompas, the other characters that you know from the original movie aren't there because they haven't happened yet. You know, that whole thing hasn't happened yet. This is the how Willy Wonka came to be story. So one of the things that we do learn is how the Oompa Loompas came into Willy Wonka's life. And the Oompa Loompa in this movie is hilariously played by Hugh Grant through special effects. He appears to be only about a foot tall. And is adorable and is scene-stealing, but it's a lovely, lovely movie, and it's perfect for the whole family. I'm going to give it a super high. I don't know if I'm going to give it an A, or I may wind up giving this one an A+, because there's a lovely moral to the story. You know, it's more than just a nice movie. It's really great, and I was happy to be chosen to be invited to be among the very, very few that sat down one-on-one with Timothée Chalamet himself, talking about the making of the new movie, Wonka.
We just see a whole new side of you with this one. I mean, we got a little taste when you were hosting SNL.
Yes.
But Mr. Song and Dance Man now.
Yeah.
What, was that the most challenging part of this?
Yeah, it felt like going back to my roots in some ways. My mother is a dance teacher. My grandmother danced on Broadway. Come from a performing arts family, but the movies I've been doing are much more, you know,
more serious.
Yeah, serious. Yeah, yeah. But this is a serious movie, but it's joyful and it's generous, and there's song and dance and it's playful, and that's been unlike what I've been doing. So I had to learn to sort of go full circle with how I've always been, I guess.
There is so much excitement and anticipation on my social media.
Yeah,
just talking about being here for all of this. People are so excited about seeing this character again, the Gene Wilder version, the Johnny Depp version, now yours. Mm-hmm. How do you place yours with the others?
I don't know. I think this is the companion piece to the Gene Wilder film. You know, that's how Paul King talks about it. This the pure imagination numbers in this movie, like the 71 version. But those are two films I'm, you know, massively admiring of, you know, and they're just wonderfully bold. This isn't the story of Willy Wonka, as we know in those films, who's sort of lost his mind and looking to give his factory away. This is the story of a young Willy Wonka full of dreams, hasn't realized any of them yet, without friends, without support.
It's kind of cool, though, because you know how it winds up.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Watching your version, it's like, oh, that's going to be this.
Yes.
And that's going to be this.
And
they're
Paul
like little Easter eggs.
Exactly. That's the word I was going to use. Yeah. Paul just sprinkled those Easter eggs throughout.
What do you think the magic is of Willy Wonka? Why is he so beloved and so captivating all these years?
Because I think he's an adult that refuses to grow up. And at least in this version too, you know, someone who's in touch with their inner child that won't take no for an answer. And who sees the world through the lens of eyes that dream. And it's so easy to feel like things are corny and cliched now and cringe, and, you know, and that vocabulary is so common, and it's somehow become stranger to dream and be sincere and open.
Yeah. I was surprised to learn that you had very few scenes with Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Because his is almost all motion capture.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you? You probably spent more time with him here than during the filming of the movie.
Well, that's true. You know, it was strange because there was a tennis ball and a stand that I was acting with, but they filmed what he was doing after, you know, each take they would film what he was doing so I could watch on a monitor on a, you know, and on a screen.
This new movie with Timothy Chalamet, who makes a great Willy Wonka, by the way, comes out next Friday. I will have more of my interview with Timothy Chalamet this coming week on WGN-TV Morning News. Friday, give you my full review of the movie. Already told you how much I love it. On Bob Surratt Show on Friday morning, and also on WGN-TV Morning News. Coming up after our news now, my review of something else that I absolutely loved, the world premiere of the musical Boop, the Betty Boop musical. And our weekend theater segment, what is going on stage in Chicago? Only a world premiere musical over at the CIBC Theater in Chicago. Boop, the Betty Boop musical, directed by two-time Tony winner Jerry Mitchell, music by the great David Foster, who we talked to here on the program a couple of weeks ago. We had a fantastic conversation with him. We got an early preview of some of the songs from the show, like this one, Where I Want to Be, which is one of the premier songs in the movie, play, rather. And this past Wednesday, over at the CIBC Theater, was the official opening of Boop, the Betty Boop musical, and I cannot rave enough about it. If you're looking for something that's just really big and bold and spectacular and joyous, I can't recommend this show enough. Now, some of you will remember the 1930s black and white animated character Betty Boop. Betty was, and in many ways still is, a very popular animated character. But to see them take this black and white animated character and transform it live in front of you on stage into a full color spectacular musical is the genius of what director Jerry Mitchell does. It's so creative and mind blowing to see it all. To follow the story of Betty, who is living in the black and white world and transforms. She wants more out of life than just being a cartoon icon. And through a variety of things that happen in the show, I won't give out any spoilers in it, winds up in modern day New York City, and ironically enough, at a Comic-Con, where you would expect to see Betty Boop, caricatures and merchandise, etc. And it's the story of her trying to get on and find herself in this life, in this modern-day life. Now, I just thought this was one of the most creative shows that I had seen in a very, very, very long time. It stars Jasmine Amy Rogers playing Betty, Ainsley Anthony Mellum as Dwayne, kind of her love interest in this whole show. And another standout in this outstanding cast is Angelica Hale, who plays a young teenager that she meets at this Comic-Con, who has a powerful voice. All the performances in the show are over the top, so fantastic. The ensemble, the songs, the dances, the David Foster music in this show is more than memorable as well in the show, is truly spectacular. And I cannot recommend the show more than enough. Now, this is in, you know, what they call a pre-Broadway tryout. It is going to be headed to New York next year. And, you know, there could be a few little minor changes here and there. I think that the changes really that need to happen are minor. I didn't find really any faults with the show. I was ear-to-ear grinning when I left the theater on Wednesday night. I had just such a fun time. It's colorful, it's beautiful, it's joyous. And I'm not one of these critics that, you know, wants to come in and tell you how this is how I would do the show. It's not about what I would do if I were, you know, doing the show, which honestly, I don't know that I could have done a better job than Jerry Mitchell and David Foster with this. But I can tell you what I saw on that stage was top-notch in every way, and so entertaining and so enjoyable. I cannot recommend the show to you enough. So it's going to be playing at the CIBC Theater downtown until December the 24th. Tickets are available at BroadwayInChicago.com. Highly recommend it. I want to play one more song from the show that is kind of one of the heart-touching showstoppers in the second act. That Betty Boop sings, Jasmine Amy Rogers, who is such a standout in this cast. And a little clip from our interview with David Foster from a couple of weeks ago, introducing it all.
Well, I like that song a lot. It's not unlike the Whitney, Celine sort of songs that I did back in the day. And, you know, there's not really a place, per se, at least on Top 40 radio, there's not a place for those kind of songs today. But I think on the stage in Broadway, I think there is still a place to, you know, show the audience that this girl, obviously, she's a great singer, Jasmine, and it's a powerful song, and I think it'll do well.
I just felt like when I was watching the world premiere performance of Boop, the Betty Boop musical, that I was watching theater history, because this Jasmine Amy Rogers is absolutely going to be a superstar. And if you want something that's super entertaining, incredible performances, go see this production. It's only here until December 24th. It's headed to Broadway next after this, and you can get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. Also just opened in the Chicago area, Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins. Our weekend theater segment continues. We've got so many holiday productions that are going on in the Chicago area right now. So many productions of A Christmas Carol. Nutcracker Suites are popping up in theaters everywhere. It's a Wonderful Life, the second longest running holiday stage production in the history of Chicago theater, put on by our friends at American Blues Theater. In fact, they're going to be here with us next week. Kind of an annual visit. We're looking forward to that, but that's going on. But also going on right now is Straw Dogs' production of Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins, as Adam Sandler and his classic song welcomes in. And joining us is the director, Noah Ellman. Noah, very nice to have you with us. Hello.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me, Dean. Great to be here.
Thank you very much. I love that we've got so much diversity in our holiday productions around the Chicago area. That's got to be part of the reason why you want it to be part of this project as well.
Absolutely. I think it's such a special tradition. I mean, this is Straw Dogs' sixth year with this show. It's first year for me with the show, but I think it's such a special part of the holiday tradition now. I mean, as I, you know, you just said, we have Christmas Carol, we have Nutcracker. We know we can see these every year, and I mean, they're incredible. The Goodman's production, just amazing. But it's important to see that, you know, everyone in the world celebrates this wintertime differently, and I'm glad to be a part of that.
Yeah, maybe this year more than most. It's good to
absolutely
that we're you know, able to show that you know, we have more to celebrate than we do to you know, disagree and hate each other for. So tell us a little bit about Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins. What is the story about?
So it's Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins is based on a picture book by Eric Kimmel that was written in 1989. And that in turn is based on this character, Herschel of Ostrapol, which is this lovely folk hero from Eastern Europe. And this specific story is about Herschel tricking the eight goblins who are making sure that Hanukkah can't happen in this town of Chelm. And so he goes up to the synagogue, and night by night, a new goblin appears, and he tricks them and sends them away and saves Hanukkah. And the beautiful thing about this show specifically is has this wonderful wrapper of this traveling troupe who goes around telling the story to young folks and families all over, and they happen to be this year in Chicago. So it's a wonderful little wrapper on the story that it's really wonderful.
That's really nice. One of the other things that's nice about this show is that tickets are free for the show. It does require advance registration, but it's a show that anybody can come and see, right?
Yeah, totally free tickets. It's a very important part of Straw Dog's mission to offer free tickets, especially for this show. So that anyone, no matter what the economic situation is, they can celebrate with us and enjoy the show. Yeah.
Yeah, it's playing through December 23rd at the Chicago Loop Synagogue at 16 South Clark Street in Chicago, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, and Sundays.
Yeah, Thursdays, Saturdays, and two shows on Sundays.
Oh, Thursdays, yeah. Saturdays, and Sundays, of course. And if you want more information, and you do have to advance register for the free tickets, go to strawdog.org, I think is correct, right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, please get your tickets in advance. One of the beautiful things about having a free show is we get lots of people coming down. So, yeah, definitely get tickets in advance if you can.
Yeah, very good. Tell me a little bit more about Straw Dog and the kinds of things that they have been doing and are looking forward to doing.
Yeah, so Straw Dog, I mean, it's such an important company in the history of Chicago. It's been making work for so long and is sort of in this moment of rebirth, I think, as so many theater companies are, and, you know, finding the path forward, which is wonderful. They're looking to produce more throughout this year. But I think the beautiful sort of tying the ties of the past to the present and then the future is this play of Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins, because it's been running for so many years now, that it sort of brings Straw Dog from where it was to where it will be as they continue to produce other work throughout Chicago.
Yeah. You said this is the sixth annual production of the show?
Yeah, correct. This is the sixth annual. I'm very lucky to be joining as the director for the first time, but this script, which it was written by Mike Daly, who was the former artistic director of Straw Dog, has just continued over years and years and years, and has continued to do well. I mean, it's a new holiday tradition here in Chicago.
Yeah, I think it's great. As I said, we have so many productions that are going on. You know, mostly A Christmas Carol and Nutcracker, which is fine. People want to come and see certain traditions every year, but I love that there are new things every year. That have popped up like this It's a Wonderful Life adaptation that American Blues Theater does, which is an old-time radio adaptation of the famous movie. And now that has become a bit of a Chicago tradition. So let's put Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins in that same category then. So
absolutely.
What do you know about the history of people coming to see the show? I would imagine you must have audiences of all backgrounds that come and see this, right?
Yeah, it really is from all backgrounds. I mean, it is a very special show for so many people, but I think at the heart of it, right, the message of the story is sort of something that is true of so much Jewish work in Yiddish theater is finding joy and celebration in when there is oppression. I mean, in the case of this, it's a sort of fantastical oppression of these goblins, but it's such a universal message that anyone can understand. So, you know, we've seen people in years past, but in this year especially, I've been seeing so many people coming in, so many people who have personal connections to the story, right, who, like myself, who read this book growing up, but also people who know nothing about it and find that same joy in celebrating who we are and how we find joy. Like you said, it's important right now that we find ways to find commonalities and learn how to celebrate together in this hard time. So it really is a universal message that I think works for everyone, whether or not you know the story or have a connection to it.
Yeah, tell me a little about your cast with this show.
I mean, I'm so lucky to have this amazing cast of quite a lot of newcomers to the Chicago area. So they've just been absolutely wonderful. We have these six members of the troupe. Amanda Giles is our Herschel this year. They're just absolutely fabulous as the ringleader of these six members of the group, and they play all the characters. These six actors play themselves, but they also play all the goblins and puppeteer all the goblins. All the goblins are puppets in this show. They also play villagers, and they play innkeepers, and it's a lot of bouncing around. And in addition, we have three of the cast members who are at all times playing instruments on stage. So they are not only performing and inhabiting these goblins, but also we have a live clarinet, a live guitar, and a live fiddle on stage to play the music by Jacob Combs. It's just fabulous. I mean, really, really incredible work.
Yeah, I didn't,
from all of them. I've been so lucky.
I didn't know that puppets were a part of all of this, but because that makes it extra special, doesn't it? And it makes it even more accessible to younger audiences. To engage them with what's going on the stage at the same time, and all of the music. It's just really like all around entertainment.
Yeah, it's a family show. I mean, we have part of the way we set up the space is to have these pillows sort of to the front to have children sit and be really part of the action. And every performance I've seen so far, the front row is just filled with kids who are just absolutely glued. It's full of music and puppets and dancing and singing. It's really wonderful. And I'll mention one specific moment. There's a moment where our Herschel towards the beginning does this beautiful magic trick and reveals a piece of gelt from behind or a piece of gold from behind the ear of one of the children. And one of the nights I was able to see it on our opening night, I watched the little girl who had the gold pulled from behind her ear, and she turned around and faced her grandparents sitting just a couple rows back, and the absolute just jaw-dropped expression on her face. That's what we're seeing from so many children right now.
That's so great. That's so great. I love that. It's called Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins. It's performed Thursdays and Saturdays and Sundays at the Chicago Loop Synagogue, 16 South Clark Street in Chicago. Tickets are free to the show, but advance registration is required by going to strawdog.org, strawdog.org. And the director, Noah Ellman, joining us here to tell us about it. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, Noah, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Yeah, we've got great stuff going on stage in Chicago. If you ever have questions about it, feel free to drop me a note social media, on any of our email addresses that we have. Happy to answer whatever questions that we've got for you. Now, we've got Hap and OB coming up right after news update. So stand by for that. I will see you tomorrow morning between 8 and 8:30 on Bob Surratt Show, as always. I'm going to be talking more about Boop, the Betty Boop musical, on Bob's show tomorrow morning. But we've got quite a lineup for you throughout the week on the WGN-TV Morning News and also on Bob's show as well. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking with some of the stars of the sixth and final season of The Crown that you've enjoyed so much. Imelda Staunton, who plays Queen Elizabeth, will be my guest, and also Dominic West, who plays Prince Charles. Also, later in the week, we have Emma Stone talking about her very controversial and thought-provoking new movie called Poor Things. On Thursday, Timothy Chalamet talks to us more about his movie Wonka. And on my weekly cooking segment on television, I'm going to be making, inspired by the Willy Wonka movie, I'm going to be making some very easy-to-make chocolate. I hope you can be tuning in for all that. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday.